Well, welcome to another Winning Monday here at Flowery Branch, the Dan Quinn Coaches Show with Dave Archer, Wes Durham. Great to have you with us, and the Falcon head coach with us in our first half hour. 48-21, the final at the Dome. Fast start, fast finish ultimately, too, with the big play by Stupar at the horn. And you guys are going to 4-0, Coach.
I think the biggest factor, we knew the ball was going to be an issue in the game. A tough outfit, well-coached, and for us to come out plus four, I thought the offense did a great job taking care of the ball. And there were some batted balls, but there was really no, that were on the ground or a big pick opportunity. And then for the defense to force them and to have two that went back, it's such an important part of our program of what we want to be about. So that was great to see it come through.
Dan, you guys do such a good job of systematically breaking the game down, play down, going through a game that you want to do as best you can on that play, then the series, then the drive. Is this, as you looked at it from a tape, I know you got a lot of improvement to do. I mean, you want to get rid of the penalties and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But when you look at it for four quarters in your first four games, this is the best effort you've gotten out of all four
I think
four
our
quarters.
Style really came through in terms of what we're trying to establish. And playing like that is playing football like we like. We want to be just knocking the heck out of people. We want our effort to come across on the field to the fans and on tape and on TV when they say, man, these guys play hard. And then we have those finishing opportunities where it's the end of a drive, the end of a play, the end of the game, where that comes through. So I thought, like, allowing our style to come out, I thought that was one of the best demonstrations of that.
An interesting ball game, because if somebody were sitting there at kickoff, you go three and out with your first possession. And then all of a sudden, here's Houston, and bang, bang, batted ball, Babineau an interception, six plays, eight plays later, touchdown. Then all of a sudden, it's just like, here's this unbelievable bounce of energy that you've always talked about this. It's amazing. One play leads to another, and then all of a sudden, here come three or four right behind it.
And I think so, and I think – what we're doing when we get the turnovers is really important offensively. I think maybe we have eight on the year so far, and I think it ended up being like six touchdowns, a kneel, and a punt. So, like, when the defense is giving the ball back to the offense, they're really taking advantage. No surprise with Matt at the wheel. Like, he's going to go attack every chance he gets. So that's playing like we want to play for sure.
Can you quantify how good the effort was of the guys that are allowing you to run the ball? It's not just the five offensive linemen. It's the tight ends.
Yep.
It's the fullback. Ryan with his play fakes, as you've talked about. But can you quantify that against what looked like and is one of the better front sevens you may face all season long?
It definitely is. And, although every once in a while a game gets out of whack, turnovers and that kind of thing, but not to take away from the front and what they have and the style and attitude they play with. So much of our front is all 11, in the run game. The receivers, the quarterback keeping, the play action that goes with it. And then the combination blocks at the line of scrimmage, the guard-tackle combinations, the center-guard combination. So very rarely is a guy just in a man block by himself. So much of that communication and working together is now starting to come, into fruition. Now they've all been, this group of five, have been together for four games. And so they've had all the work together in practice.
It's really fun to see.
Yeah.
When we get in-zone shots of it, obviously you evaluate them today, or probably did last night if I know you. But the little full blocks where Chris steps through and gets up onto the second level, or Levitre gets to that second level and seals it, and Devontae hits it coming downhill. That's a lot of fun to watch.
That is fun, and it's great for those guys because that's all the hard work when you put in. Now you get to go a chance and do it in the game. So that group in particular, when you look over there in practice, and there's a lot of drilling going on, all the work that they do, all the footwork, all the pads that they do, then they get a chance to go and play fast. Mm-hmm. When you see us, we want to say, man, do these guys come off the ball.
You look at the way the ball game worked yesterday, the offensive momentum. Yesterday, and we're talking about defense, that was geared clearly to stop Julio.
Right.
They were doing everything possible to keep the ball out of his hands and to make Matt find somebody else. And your team responded.
And I think that's one of the things that's going to happen, who's such a unique player that there's times when coverage goes one way and now here come the opportunities for the tight ends, the other wide outs, the running backs.
Right.
And that's our job to make sure we can feature the guys in the best way. If they're going to, work like crazy to help on who, then we've got to work like crazy to make sure the other ops are there for the guys too.
Dan, how proud of you were the way Teron stepped up. The opportunity, and you talk about it all the time, when you get your opportunity, take advantage of it. Obviously, Devontae did not – he just hit the ground running from last week, played extremely well. But when Teron got his opportunity, hey, there was no step down. In fact, you might have tried to increase it a little bit.
And one of the things that everybody on the team respects so much about Teron, it's his toughness and his attention to details. So somebody asked me last week, what are some of the things that you respect about Pat DeMarco? And I said, smart and tough. And I think I'd say the same things about Teron. They're the same type of guy, Pat and Teron, is like they have their details down. They're very rarely out of place. Yep, I had this pickup. And then when they have a chance to finish, they do that.
Well, what stuck out to me a couple times about Teron, and I asked him after the game, and he got a little smile on his face, it looked like Brian Cushing, who can be one of those bullies on the field. We saw it a little bit in the Hard Knock series that he can be a little bit of a bully. He looked like he was trying to jaw a little bit because Teron's size, diminutive, right, at least when you look at
He's short. He's not small.
No. Right. Well, you saw it on tape. He hit him under the chin a couple of times. Yeah. All of a sudden, that demeanor kind of changed from the linebacker a little bit.
Yeah, he is short, but he is not small.
I'm writing this down because we're going to use that again.
Yeah, he's not small. And I think we have really tough backs. And I love the style that they play with. They're aggressively and really making great decisions with the ball in their hand, taking care of it. And it's a great group. You can see the bond connecting with all four of those guys. And Teron, when he got his op, he was sure going to take advantage of it as well.
All right. Now, I want to flash back here a little bit because Teron Ward's a college free agent.
Yep.
He split carries a year ago with Storm Woods at Oregon State. I mean, this is not a feature back guy, not clearly what Tevin Coleman was to Indiana last year.
Right.
So is this a process about doing some of those visits? We followed you on Twitter last year. You were all over the country doing these college workouts and things like that. Is that something you saw as you went through the workout process with maybe just not him but other guys?
You know, we got to give credit to Thomas and his staff on
this
one.
Sure, I understand that. Yeah.
And part of the – when we got connected, you know, to partner up to say these are the specific things we're looking for at running back. And I think one of the great lines that Bobby Turner had taught me is he had said, guys who show toughness with and without the ball. And not just running, the way you protect, you know, so like you're either one or the other in the running game, especially if it's a one-back set. So
right.
Teron completely exemplifies that. And he is as detailed on the game as any of the guys have. And he's, I'm sure probably, you know, having his older brother who played in the NFL, yeah, that's a, you know, factor of, okay, I know what that looks like and how a professional player acts and trains and goes about it.
It's the Dan Quinn Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dan, another guy that probably fits in that same category is Robinson Therese.
Yep.
I mean, you gave him an opportunity to step in, and he certainly looked like he was where he was supposed to be yesterday.
That was one of the things we were most excited about. We had no reservations about him going in, none. We had great belief in him. He's done that really from the whole training camp. In the spring, we were trying him at a number of different spots. Is he a nickel? Is he a corner? Mm-hmm. Could he possibly be a safety? So we had him at a bunch of spots, and then we said, let's put him at safety and leave him there for a while. And I think we'll like the results. And I think Marquand in particular has done the best job coaching, we call him Cadillac, to say, you know, these are the things that are so important to playing middle field defense and all the principles that go along with it. And so we were not surprised that he would play well when given the chance.
Dare we find out how he got the name Cadillac?
I don't. that's what Lack. Everybody calls him Cadillac.
How cool is it?
Because at first we gave him, there's only one Cadillac from Auburn, you know.
I was getting ready to say.
And then, so we gave him a little, and he kind of, okay, you know, like, he's a quiet guy by nature. And then now, okay, there is two.
How fun is it for you, Dan, to see, you've got a staff here together that you had earmarked and kind of, I'm going to put a post-it by this guy, and you put together a staff here that's really come together really cool, too.
Yep.
And a guy like Marquand Manuel, who was a pretty good player in the National Football League himself, to see that transition of him as a coach and kind of getting the joy out of trying to coach a guy like Robinson Therese.
And one of the things for us as a staff, we're going to try and take each player as far as we can. So we consider ourselves a developmental staff, meaning every player we're going to try and push him and take him as far as we can and find out the unique stuff about him. I think Marquand exemplifies that as well as anybody. He's always searching, you know, what else can the player do? What kind of versatility? Can he be a corner and a nickel? Can he be a safety that can play nickel? Can he be a whatever it might be? And I think he goes as well as anybody on the staff to try and go the extra mile to find it. And just like the players have all unique stuff, the coaches do too. And we try to feature them in their best way as well. Raheem has been a big factor
Absolutely.
For us defensively as well.
You and we've touched on this, and I want to go back to running backs, but it also applies certainly to Therese with Ricardo Allen and the depth of your football team in a variety of different ways. And I keep thinking about to your experiences in Seattle where it was Marshawn Lynch, and then, oh, by the way, it could have been Michael Robinson, could have been a guy or two along the way. Here, though, you've already gone to the depth in this running back spot. You've
right.
looked at it. You've gone to the depth at free safety. To a degree, you've gone to depth with Croy Bierman behind Brooks Reed when
yep.
he missed the first couple of ball games. You can't put a price on the value of understanding the depth of your team four games in, can you?
I think it's that versatility. And early on, I think it's really important to find out what else a player can do. And can you be a safety that can play corner? Can you be a linebacker? Because Nate Stupar is another one. He played inside linebacker, and we trained him as a backup outside linebacker. So when those opportunities come, it's not where, oh, this is your first time doing it. We've already handled it. And then for the players that couldn't handle the versatility, we said, okay, let's back off and put somebody at one spot.
It was fun to listen, and I got a chance to listen to you a little bit post-game and start thinking about some of the things that you want to get done in a game. And I know, obviously, the first thing is we need to have the ball on our side more than they get the football, meaning take it away and possess it. You got both those check marks, 35 minutes, almost 36 minutes of time of possession, means you're controlling the football game and then taking the football away. I know those are big things.
And I think the third down part of it, you know, can't be – when we're able to play, you know, a style that we like, and some of the third downs end up in third and twos and third and fours as opposed to third and 15s or 12s, that's a big difference. And as you know, that playing quarterback. So for us, staying on schedule is an important part of what we do. The completions and the pass, you know, completions and the run attempts, when they're over 50, usually we like that.
The impressive part, and I don't remember what drive it was. I think it was in the third quarter where you overcame. I think you overcame like two major penalties, and I know a couple of other penalties, six penalties, I think, in the drive, and still put points on the board. It showed a lot of resolve with the squad.
It does, and it was the most penalties we've had in this game for whatever reason. And, you know, I think four of them ended up being pre-snapper, which we totally have, you know, the ability to control that. So is there times when you're going to grab a guy? Yeah, that's going to happen some when you're playing really aggressive. But the pre-snap stuff, man, let's make sure we don't jump off sides or have a foul for an illegal shift. Those are the ones that we can really, you know, take advantage of.
Yeah, it was the drive that ended in one of Freeman's touchdowns where there were penalties all back and forth. Then you had another one in the Teron Ward touchdown drive where he finishes with the TD run as well, where you overcame two of your own penalties in your own end of the field.
Right. And so for us to end up finishing those drives with touchdowns as opposed to field goals makes the game, you know, way different. So, you know, we like the toughness that we played with. I thought the guys played hard for one another, and that's really the messaging that we're trying to get across.
I think the old defensive coordinator probably liked the two scores from that unit too,
yes.
Right?
You got that right. Yeah.
All right, time for this week's head coach question brought to you by United BMW. Selection, incredible service. It's the ultimate. Shop the entire new BMW lineup today at United BMW in Gwinnett or Roswell or online 24/7 at unitedbmw.com. Don't forget, you can submit your question today at 929thegame.com/askthecoach. And Coach Quinn, four games in, what are you most pleased about and what needs the most work?
Good question. I think let's start off with what we're most pleased about. I think it's our regard for the ball. And that's something that we're going to continue to emphasize and just play as well as we can. So to have no turnovers and to create four defensively, and keep giving the ball the offense. For us to be about the ball, we've got to live it. And I think in that game we did. Things to improve on, I would say for us, it's our fundamentals. And for us, that's our heartbeat. That's where, you know, if we don't have those, we don't live. So for us, I would say both sides of the line of scrimmage, you know, offense, the special teams part, can we keep getting better at our technique and our fundamentals?
Yesterday when you started making some moves, quarterback position, some of the offensive line rotations, things like that, the focus was still there. Improve this team. You may have created a margin, you were going to win the ball game, that kind of thing, but that didn't mean that we were going to half step it the rest of the afternoon if you were playing in a black helmet, was
it?
No,
that's for sure. And I think the biggest thing is, like, we have such belief in the players, and so if there was a chance, we're a developmental staff, meaning we want to take each guy and gain some experience when the opportunity presents itself. So I thought that was a, you know, it doesn't happen very often. So when the time was there for us to get some extra turns for some guys to get another evaluation and some experience, you can't duplicate that. So we thought, here, what better chance than to go for it right now?
Well, and no question about it, get an opportunity to see some of those guys and put them in those game situations. You can't simulate that in practice at
can't.
All, can you, Dan?
Yep, so that part I thought, you know, it happens so rarely. Let's take our shot right now and give some guys some opportunities.
Is that I will say, though, through three quarters – the Texans were – and the mass substitution came about the fourth quarter mark.
Right.
1 for 8 on third down were the Texans at that point, and only 237 yards of offense. It was 42-0 at that moment. I mean, that was total domination in the first three quarters of the game, and then obviously you got a chance to see some young players play.
Yeah, and that was the part we would – you know, when it got into the fourth quarter, I'm sure you guys felt it as well. There were some drives that we didn't like where you know, there was a missed tackle, there was a touchdown, you know, or you know, they were scored. And so that part, like, that gives us an opportunity to go clean some things up again today. And so we got right back to the truth again today. How can we get to it?
Yeah.
And then we'll put it past us. And then all the focus, you know, after these meetings today, will go right into this week's game.
We spent a good bit of time today talking about the 53. The value of that tape to some of those guys is pretty important as this season moves on. Right?
Yeah, and
just
the
little bit you saw yesterday.
And we get that experience, and so now the next time, you know, a guy gets his chance to play, it's not for the first time. And so every chance we get to keep, you know, bringing a guy further along, we're going to do it.
Dan, when you look at the 53, you're obviously going to have some guys starting to get healthy for you, and you're going to have to make some game time decisions as to what that inactive list is going to look like and how you're going to adjust that. Tevin's going to be available at some point. Devin Hester going to be available to you at some point. I guess that's a pretty good problem to have, knowing you got those kind of guys coming off the roster.
And even the guys on the practice squad, we want to take them as far as we can too. So Thomas and I really treat it like a 63-man roster, and how far can we pull people through and see where we can develop the guys to get to. So the central theme of what we're doing is competition, and that's every day at practice, and we like that kind of pressure on the guys.
You have talked and addressed it today in your media comments about the toughness and the grit of Devontae Freeman. Is this just as simple? And he said something, I think, with Dave yesterday after the ball game about just my opportunity. I'm getting my opportunity, wanting to take advantage of my opportunity. Is it as simple as that, Coach? I mean, I know there's a lot of hard work into it.
There's a lot of hard work, for sure. And I think the other thing is, like, we didn't get to see him for the whole month of the preseason.
Yeah.
You know, in any of the games. So that part, you know, was hard for him and hard for us to go through, where he's such a competitor. So you know he's chomping at the bit to get going. And then he loves to play football, and it just jumps out on the tape or on the field when you're around him. He loves to practice. He loves to play. And he's one of the best competitors we have. He really is. He's also short, but not small.
No, there's nobody small on this team.
Two guys.
You didn't get any small guys. You catch some guys that maybe are shorter, but maybe not smaller guys. I keep trying to kind of get back to your staff a little bit, and I know we're only at the quarter pole. We got a lot of football left to play, and off to the right start that you wanted.
Yep.
But when you look at some of the guys on your staff, the offensive line, this was a scenario that you put together. You guys put this group together after the preseason was over with. All of a sudden, you got three new interior guys that weren't here last year.
Right.
You got a right tackle that had had some injury issues that was back. Certainly your left tackle as well. How proud are you of the way the offensive line has come together, really kind of the nuts and bolts
right,
of your
offense? Right, I think Chris Morgan and Keith Carter, the time they've spent with the guys who've come in, and Andy and Chris are performing it exactly like we'd hoped they would. And that combination that happens inside with all those, you know, especially when you're running the zone scheme, it doesn't just happen, you know, just because you want it to. It has to be the work that they put in together. You can see how close that group is getting.
It's interesting, too, you have certain guys, Chester and Levitre certainly fall in this category, and I think Person had been with enough teams to have, quote, pro experience, even though he'd never started a ball game until week one. You've got guys who have had enough addresses, if I can use that term the right way in this league, to understand the value of this opportunity, I guess, right?
Yes.
Is that fair?
I think that's fair to say. I think it's a really powerful moment when you can say, okay, we got a unique opportunity right here, let's go for it. And
kind of ground floor stuff.
Yep. And as we're going through, it's like no one on this team has to be uptight about it, man. It's about take advantage of your opportunity and go for it. So it's not anybody where we want you to go for it. So don't be inhibited. Don't hold back.
Yeah.
This is your moment. Go for it.
Now, I know you're sweeping the Texans out the door from an attention standpoint. Here come the Washington Redskins. They're riding a high, had a last-second win.
Cool.
Kirk Cousins takes his team to length of field in the final moments to win the football game. What can you tell us about the Redskins?
Well, number one, I know, you know, from Kirk, already almost 70% completions, over 1,000. And just from talking to Kyle, he had great regard and respect for him as well. So we know they're just tough as could be in the run game. I know Bill Callahan well. I've coached with him and against him and how good he is in the addition. And then when they added Joe Barry from a defensive standpoint, I know how strong Joe is. So it's a unique group. And challenge, we'll certainly be looking forward to taking
a little bit of familiarity. We've mentioned Chester, Kyle Shanahan, Nick Williams played there.
Yep.
Handful of guys.
Yeah,
right?
I think sometimes those games are there, and I think it's important to remember it's going to come down to us. And it's not, I got to do something different. I'm playing a team I used to coach at or I used to play for. It's that's usually when things go haywire. It really comes down to, like, each week is a championship game week for us. So would we do all the preparation if we were playing a championship game this week? No different than last week and no different than the next week. So although those guys have had time there, it's really going to come down to how we play.
Well, when you look, and it's certainly your performance is the only thing you can control. The other team's trying to do the same thing as well. When you look at the Redskin defense, are there a couple of people that kind of jump out at you as you look at the tape?
Well, number one, just I think in their front seven, the size and the stoutness that they have. You know, they've always had rushers there who can, you know, cause you havoc with now with Kerrigan there. But I think the inside part is the thing, you know, the stoutness and the size that they have.
Yeah, they acquired Terrence Knighton, the big defensive tackle from the Broncos, that looks like his – well, he's going to be wearing a white jersey in the Dome this weekend, and it'll look like it's about four trailer wide, trailers hard.
Right.
It's unbelievable how big the guy is.
Yeah, from last week and this week.
I was getting ready to say, right?
Those are as big a nose tackle as you can get with Will Fork and now with Knighton as well. So those guys who have that size and the ability to move down the line, it's a rare combination for being that big and have that kind of quickness. So, yeah, we'll have our hands full for sure.
It is amazing the size of Will Fork yesterday, Terrence Knighton coming in here, and just the sheer – I say sheer athleticism
totally
just because of the size, right?
Yeah, there's very few big people on earth that can move like them, and it's a real rare guy. And that kind of strength and movement ability, it just, you know, just doesn't happen very often.
I think it's pretty cool when you get a chance, having a chance to talk to Matt Ryan, and when you have an admiration for one, and I think you respect all your opposition because they're working as hard as you are. I haven't had a chance to play the game. I respected the guys across the ball, but talk to him a little bit about J.J. Watt yesterday, and again, you guys, the offensive line did an incredible job to keep Watt off. I think he got to him one time. But his ability to bat the ball and do some of those things, I thought it was pretty cool the way Matt really pointed out the fact that what a great player the guy is.
I think when you go against guys and just that regard shows up and you have like, okay, that guy, not only does he, you know, put it on tape, but when we play against him, you feel it. And whether it's a tackle for loss or a sack or a batted ball, he played in on the goal line package. So he's definitely a unique player and, someone we respect a bunch.
Well, you guys know this, and Dave from playing and Dan from coaching so long, if it's on tape, it's usually the way it is in real life, right?
That's right. And that's you know, the way we look at it for sure. And then when you get a chance to go against those guys again and again, he's like, man, every week this guy brings it.
You know, we talked about Hankerson yesterday, and Hank had a big day for you. And an opportunity. You talked about how they were trying to do some things to who, and all of a sudden here comes Hank. Somebody else steps up and make plays, and I know you're trying to teach your team that that's the way it's supposed to be. That was his first 100-yard game since, what, 2011?
2011, right. First year in the league.
Another one of those moments where I know you felt really good for him and the fact that he's really battled to get himself back on the football field.
And I think that was one of the things when we went through the offseason. It's like, man, he's got, you know, back with spring in his legs and going. He's got this great long catching radius. And so for him to have the opportunity to get some of the catches, whether up high or down low, he seems to where he can just maneuver his body in the right spot to pluck it out of the air.
Yeah, it was his first 100-yard game since November 13, 2011, ironically against Miami, 8 catches for 106 yards that day. I just think of things, and I said this yesterday, I think, Dave, during the broadcast. Coach, I'm amazed he came in here and was immediately asked about Washington and said, you know, the opportunity to come here and to stay focused on this project. And I thought of something you just said a moment ago. The guys who came here and understood this was a clean slate, everybody was at ground one.
And that's what I told every guy who came in, like, hey, the big thing, can you come in and compete? And then you'll have your opportunity from there. And he's done a great job with that.
Another guy that falls into kind of this category of you guys finding, both Thomas's staff and your staff, finding people that fit what you want to do, but Nick Williams.
Yeah.
All he does is come in and catch first downs for you.
And is he tough? And
yeah.
He just battles for it. And that's the same way in practice. You know, he's a tough cover in practice. And I love the competitive nature that he always comes, you know, to bring it with.
Well, the Redskins will be here on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Dave and I remarked in the second half yesterday, at least after next Sunday, you'll know how you fit in the NFC East, right?
I know it's unusual how sometimes the schedule, you know, folds out to, you know, who you're playing early.
Sure.
In division games early or late. And so, honestly, it's the next one for us, and we know they're playing very well, and one we're looking forward to getting into with.
Dan, first 1 o'clock kick for a home game you had it this weekend. Your impressions of the Dome and how the fans responded to the way your team was playing?
That was, you know, we couldn't wait after the Monday night game. It was so much fun having the, you know, the players and the fans connect in that way. So 2 weeks in the NFL is a long time on the road for whatever reason. So it was great to be back. We totally felt their energy all the way through. And we'll need him again this weekend for sure.
All right. Our thanks to
– right from the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Right from the start. Our thanks to head coach Dan Quinn for spending time with us today on this Monday. We'll be back with the player spotlight. Coach, thanks as always. Appreciate
thanks, guys.
It. Good luck this week in your preparation for Washington. Stay tuned. Paul Warlow joins us in the player spotlight as we continue with the Dan Quinn Coaches Show on a Monday here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.